Well, I'm reminded of something Easton said whenever I broke off one of these pieces of mint and stuck it in his mouth. He said, That's kind of what I felt about with all that good singing that we had. And that's a blessing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will. And we'll be looking in the book of Proverbs in chapter 21, in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 21. It's been good all the way around. It's been a good day all this day. And we always, whenever you meet with God, and He meets with you. And it's just a blessing from on high. I appreciate it. Hey, I also, in case you missed it, is that it went into overtime to the eighth inning. The United States Little League champions of the world came out of Florida, a team in Florida. And I was pulling for Texas, but they hit a line drive and hurt one of their pitchers and hurt another one's arm, Texas, and so Florida beat them out. But boy, let me tell you right now, it was just, it kept me up. And I was wanting to take a nap, and so I'm not going to be here long. I'll go catch up on that. God's good, is He not? God's good. I appreciate how good God's been and all that business there. I certainly didn't want to lose to Chinese Taipei. Am I saying it right? Probably so. Anyhow, take your Bible as you will, the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 21, if you find the place you're able to stand, look there in verse number 16. Verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That's serious, isn't it? Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over these families and, Lord, their children, and may they grow up in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll say thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while when a man wanders out of the way. In the passage there that you're looking at, what a sad thing that it is. You know the reason why people go to get into where they wander, just kind of wander out of the way? They're not watching where they're going. And let me tell you how it is that they've gotten astray. They did it one step at a time. You got to keep your eye on every step you're taking, everything you're thinking, every action that you're going to implore or involved in. You're going to have to pay close attention to yourself. And if you don't, it's not going to be long. You're going to be missing here a step and there a step. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that the Bible said you'll remain in the congregation of the dead. Let me tell you, the congregation of the dead's not doing nothing. They don't believe nothing. They don't know nothing. They're cold. They're callous. They're corrupt, if you will, please. And I got to say to you that, if you will, is that I'm not against these kiddos having fun and this and that and so forth and on. But, you know, if you're not careful, when you get crossways with God, you don't want to be around the people of God. I want to say something by your permission, and if you don't like it, I'm going to say something else. I'm going to go. There's a few games that every now and again, these little old boys. I got grandkids. You got kids. I don't mind going and seeing them. I'm going to every now and again, try to just ag them on, whether I'm really interested or not. I'm just going to go and ag them on. But I got news for you, honey. If you can't sit by me in church, but you can in a ball game, you're a hypocrite. God bless you, whoever that you are. In this Bible lesson, I don't think we've got anybody that's like that, but there are people that are like that. In this world that we're living in, let me tell you, when you quit watching where you're going, who you're going with, why you're going, you're going to get out of step with God one step at a time. I was thinking about whenever you look into this Bible, you begin to recognize the known that over there in Proverbs, don't lose your spot, because we're going to stay there. But in Proverbs in chapter 27 in verse number 8, he said, as a bird wandereth from her nest, so a man wandereth from his place. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist man? He's out of place. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist woman? Out of place. Do you realize, though, that it involves more than just simply a location or anything? Let me tell you something. It involves a gender. It involves a nation. It involves spirituality. We could go on and on, but suffice to say that when a person doesn't watch where they're walking, they wander out of place. In this lesson that we're looking at, you find out is that whenever the bird's not in the right place, we've got about, I don't know, three or four, five or six, half a dozen or better borrowed cats around my place. One of them, of course, never gets out. Her name is Bonnie. Clyde is kind of easygoing and laying back, and he just, you know, he likes my front porch when it's raining. He likes their front porch when he's hungry. Of course, he eats at this one, too. And all of the other ones that are there, and I can't remember all of them's name. There's Tony and Boney and Baloney and Phony, and I'm just making up a few names, but there's a bunch of them. We've got cats for all of that. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out that sooner or later in life is that there's going to be some things that are amusing and that need taken care of. And I've noticed there's every now and again that there's a mockingbird that we have, and I don't own him either. But he loves to fight them cats. He'll come off of that limb, buddy, and go down there and hit one of them. Go back up on another place, come back down and hit one of them. And man, they'll just, you know, try to get him, and they just can't get him. I don't know what I'm going to name him. Robin Hood. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and realize and know that God has got the written word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that we're not out of place when it comes to our relationship with God. See? In this lesson that you're looking at here tonight, let me say to you, the Bible said that whenever you quit watching where you're going and the steps you're taking, you're going to wind up and you're going to stay in the congregation of the dead. Now, that's got to be a sad and certainly a gloomy, depressing congregation. I want to say to you, in the Bible says over in Psalm 26 and about verse number 5, there's a congregation of evildoers. You know the reason why there's so much evilness going on in the land? They got a congregation out there. Do you know about it? I got to say to you that, if you will, that the Bible said in Psalms 1 and verse number 5, there's a congregation of the righteous. It's always good to be able to know there's some people that love God and the Bible that you can hook up with. Over there in Psalm 40, there's a passage there, and we're going to look in Psalms 149 in a minute, in verse number 1. And the reason being is because I want to read out of chapter 40, first of all, and show you a passage over there about this man of God. And as he's looking there, here's what he said. He said there in Psalm 40, verse 9 and 10, I've preached righteousness in the great congregation, and lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, I want to tell you is that there's a lot of times at a funeral or a lot of times at a place at another get-together, a wedding, or this or that. Sometimes people are always good about helping me to know that, hey, I've got some lost people here, and I want you just tear their hide and tear their head off. And then they get to speak a little bit, and they find out that's not so easily done. I'm not there to preach a funeral. If you're already dead, what good would it do to tear off somebody's head? You're already laying there dead. See, you know, there's a time and there's a place for something, but God wants you and I to be awakened and shook up to know that there's going to come a time you're going to have to stand for God and what's right and do what's right in the sight of God. In this day and hour that we're living in, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're all friends here tonight. And let me tell you something. I've been friends with people in this area for 30 years here in this church. You'd be surprised how quick they can turn. And by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, I've had some people, you know, it took a while to be able, in days gone by, it took a while for them to get as mad as I've had other people just in a flash get it done. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you shake a man's hand and tell him that was a great message, thank you for it, it was a blessing, And 5 minutes later, he's your worst enemy. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. I mean, I don't want to do like I did with the doctor, you know. I said, Doc, is there anything, can you find anything wrong with me? And he said, you are not very intelligent. I said, not very intelligent. If you don't mind, I'd like to get a second opinion. He said, all right, you're ugly too. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I realize the doctor, you know, is trying to make a living and so forth and on. I was preaching about that nakedness this morning, you know. It got quite a time or two. I knocked on a door over in Louisiana. Young lady came to the door. I could tell you what her name was, but she was just a little thing then. And I was visiting their house, and of course, and I knew their names well and all that. And I said, "Is your daddy home?" "Yes, sir." "But he can't come to the door. He's naked." And I heard somebody holler her name out of the back room there, trying to get. She said, "He ain't got no clothes on." I got to say to you that, if you will, is that when you and I are in the congregation of the righteous, we ought not to shun to declare the whole counsel of God to a congregation. Now, I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible for all the rest of the world, but I am responsible for where God's made me the overseer. And you'd be surprised how many preachers will stand before God and they are not going to preach everything God said, and the reason being, it'd make their congregation flee. I've literally had preachers to call me and say to me, "Man, somebody gave me a couple of 3 tapes. Have you got anybody at all left in your church?" I said, "Well, we run a pretty full house most of the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know how. If I preach one of them, I wouldn't." Now, shame on you, preacher. Shame on that kind of thinking. I mean, if what you got can't take hell-killing, heaven-set preaching, what does that say about you? In this lesson that you're looking at, you begin to find out is that chapter number 149, about verse number 1, there's a passage there in Psalm that we ought to look at, Psalm chapter number 149. At about verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints." I can tell you right now, that's the right congregation to be in. I'm glad to be a part of the household of faith, aren't you? And let me tell you right now, is the best people you'll ever find are in the house of God. And let me say, on the other hand, that the meanest, ugliest people you'll ever find are identified sometimes at the house of God. I said all that to be able to say this because over in the book of Psalm chapter 55, here's what he said. He said, it was not an enemy that approached me or reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, man, mine equal and my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Now I'm going to stop right there, and the reason being is because I've got some enemies out there, and sometimes I use verse 15, but not all the time. I don't want death to seize upon them. I'd just rather see them get their business straightened up and straightened out with God and right with God. But you'll find there's a certain amount of people not going to. They're hell-bent, they're hell-bound, they're hard-headed. And let me tell you right now, they'll never be anything but in the congregation of the dead if they don't get awakened to their trouble that they're in. In this lesson that you're finding here, you're going to find out is that there's not only a congregation of evildoers, but you'll find out there's a congregation of the righteous. And notice, if you will, in Psalm chapter number 25, it's about verse number 10. When you look there in that chapter, here's what he says. In verse 10, he said, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony." If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to walk in mercy and walk in truth and to be able to have fellowship with him. There's a passage in a moment that I want us to look at. It's in the book of Proverbs now, if you'll turn over there. Proverbs in chapter number 4. I will say something about that, if you will, the path of the Lord and walking with Him. Over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, I want you to look in verse number 18. Verse number 18, chapter 4, book of Proverbs. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, if you're walking with God in mercy and truth and you're talking with God, and you're going to have more than just a little talk with Jesus to make things right. But let me tell you, He's the right person, and He's the only one that can change your heart and make you fit for the kingdom of God. And let me say to you that if you have had that path of the just, if you're walking with Him, He is the just one, by the way. Then you're going to see shining light, and you're going to understand more and more and more until the perfect day. Look in verse 19. It's either the path of the just, verse 18, or it's going to be the path of the wicked, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Look at that. My son, attend unto my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. I got to tell you right now, you're either walking in the light, gaining more light, learning more light, or you're walking in darkness and walking in wickedness. And let me tell you right now is that you ought not to ever look down the road or look backwards and be 25 years a Christian and don't know any more than you did the first day you ever walked down the aisle. Let me tell you something. The child of God learns more and more to every perfect day. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible says over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter 16, it's about verse number 31. In that chapter there, here's what he talked about. He talked about the hoary head. That's the white, the gray-headed man. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Look at that. It's not just the fact that we ought to look at every person that has gray hair or a hoary head, as it's called, and that we ought to honor them because of who they are. God said, if they be in the way of righteousness. I know some people that are white-headed, and let me tell you right now, they have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. And let me tell you right now, He's not talking about a blessing upon them. In Proverbs 21 that we've read tonight for our text, in chapter number 21, in the first three verses, you'll find that in verse 1, you'll find that God is in control. Now, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I realize that we all get together and sometime we decide what's going to go on here and what's going to go on there and what we're going to spend here and what we're going to spend there and so forth and on in the church. And that's rightly so. It's good to be able to be up front and aboard and so forth and on. But let me tell you right now is the Bible said the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. Do you realize that God's in control here tonight? I never will forget whenever one of the churches that I had, and I have to really reach back into the closet way back yonder because it's been many moons ago. But I've met one or two of those old moss-backed deacons, and I say that disrespectfully because the guys I'm talking about don't deserve a lot of respect. I've had them argue me and this and that and so forth and on. And I just simply said, well, hey, to give me the answer to your argument, where is that in the Bible? And they'd look at me so hostile, it's not in the Bible, it's in the deacon's handbook. Oh, well, if it's not in the Bible, then you might as well use that for toilet tissue. I got to say to you that it's good to be able to know Him in the free pardon of sin. And, some of you are going to know this, is that the church that I was in before we started here, I decided one day I met in with all the deacons. And, man, what a bunch of deacons that was. I said, fellas, why are we having the Lord's Supper like the Church of Christ did the midday? Well, I don't know. We've just been doing it that way. And I read over there and I said, well, here's what the Bible said. The Lord said, the same night. It's not the Lord's lunch, it's the Lord's Supper. Well, we went ahead and they said, well, nobody's ever challenged us on that before. Let's go ahead and do whatever you know is right. So from now on, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're having it at night. Man, they was a couple old mossy-backed, mean-as-hell women that had horns growing underneath their little old top-notch hair. Go by and pat one of them on the head, you'll stick a horn in you. And anyhow, she said, well, I had you to know that since you've changed the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of us old women ain't going to be able to come. I said, really? You don't think there was old women in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper? I want you to answer me that. Jesus Christ is the one that set it up. I didn't change nothing. We just simply got lined up with what he already had ordered out. You don't think there was old women during that time? Oh, man, let me tell you right now. I didn't gain any points at all with her. Now, she's dead and gone now. And in hell, if she died like she lived. And if she's not in hell, there's not one. Mean as a devil. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that in this? The Lord is in control. God's in charge. And let me tell you, you're going to find man. Look in verse 3. Verse 2, the Bible said every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. I can promise you right now, I can show you time after time where people have been contrary to the word of the Lord. And they got mad, but they wouldn't admit they were wrong because their way's always right in their own eyes. Yes, so guess who they're going to blame it on? Yes, thank you very much. I'm big enough to take it. I've been blamed for a lot of stuff. Yes, right. It's better than me sitting still letting them blame it all on you, isn't it? Yes. And that's where it's going to come at next. Yes, in this Bible lesson, you're going to find out the Bible teaches us is that we ought to do what's right and do justice and judgment that'll be acceptable unto the Lord. That's better than a sacrifice. Now, I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that when we read this about being out of touch and out of step with God, I want to say in closing a couple of things. One of them is that if you're not careful, you're going to wait until it's too late to get your business serious with God. If you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. You wait too late to call upon him. God's been knocking at your heart and pulling at your heartstring. You put it off and said no and no and no, and one of these days you'll say no for the last time. In this lesson you're looking at, remember over there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, remember about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. It came time that the Lord was going to come, and the 5 foolish didn't have any lamp oil for their lamps. And they wanted to get it from those that already prepared and had it. They were unprepared, and as a result of that, you're going to find that what happened is they're unaware the Lord was coming. When they found out, they were unprepared to meet him. The Bible said while they were gone that the Lord came, and those that were ready entered in with him. Now they begin to beat and scream and cry and won't in, but I got to tell you, they were not allowed to come in because of the fact they were foolish and unprepared when they could have been prepared. I want to say to you that if you will, please, as I'm concerning your children, I know people that they get to where they want to just run here and run there, and I'm not talking about you folks that go and visit at a revival or another church or this or that and so forth and on. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about people that are faithful to the house of God. Every now and again, they just need to be able to get a break. And I've been a visitor a time or two whenever I'd be off somewhere, and I think to myself, if there's any worse preaching in this county than what I've just heard. I went to one place there, and it was so dead, so dull, so dry, so liberal. I went in there, and I said, is this where the meeting's at? Yeah. Are you supposed to be in here? I said, you said we were going to have a board meeting. If there's anybody more bored than I was, I'd like to see them. not a real winner. I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of times that people are thinking about, well, when I get a little bit older. Nobody promised you you're going to get older. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want to tell you something, parents, just so you'll know it. These children, as they get older, are going to grow colder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Make no mistake about it. The congregation of the dead has already warned us about. You're either going to be in it, lead your family in it, or you're going to lead them in the congregation of dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, in closing, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, for it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness or truth than after that they've known it or heard it to turn from it and go the other direction. Here's what he said. He said, that's acting like a hog or a dog, if you will, please. It returns back to the wallowing in the mire or to his own vomit. I've told you in days gone by, some of these kids may not know why God uses that illustration. If you ever needed to throw up and you hurt so bad and you just didn't want to throw up, but you knew that, hey, something's got to go. That's the reason why that a dog, you know, throws it up. Because it causes a pain and they don't have any way to belch it up. Like you and I, you know, I've got some champion belchers in my family. I won't have them to demonstrate it for you here, but they will one of these days and all that. It's like a tugboat foghorn coming across. I mean, it's loud. I'm not knocking at it. I'm just trying to say to you that a dog doesn't have that ability or capability, and so they throw up whatever it is that's causing pain. And the Bible said that as the dog returns to his vomit. Now, you know what that means? You look around, that dog, after he gets through throwing up what hurt him, now he's eating it again. I know what you're thinking. He wanted a warm meal. That's not why he does it. He forgets real quick what it was that caused the agony that he had. That's the reason you shouldn't eat too much before you come to church. You may want to throw up a little bit. I got to say to you that, if you will, please make no mistake about it, is that when the Lord says, as we've read tonight, there's two congregations, mentions it separately, but it's boiled down to two: a congregation of saints of God and a congregation of sinners without God. You're in one or the other. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were unlovable. And I pray that now that you'd finish the message in every heart, we thank you for giving us a good day. I pray you'd meet every request that's been mentioned in accordance to thy will and accordance to thy word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us.